Hey Billy, it's late at the moment. We've just got back from dinner with Mel and Brad. It's Mel's birthday coming up, so we went out for dinner. We read the play wrong. We thought it was her birthday dinner, but it was just a catch-up dinner. So we turned it into a birthday dinner, which was funny. But no, it was a good night out. Yeah, we all enjoyed it. We just went to into Esperance for dinner and hung out there, which was great. Yeah, I'm not gonna make it a late one because obviously I don't want to leave back high and dry. But yeah, what do we do today? Oh, we spent a lot of time hanging out down at the beach, which was really, really cool. Yeah, the kids played heaps, hey, and yeah, and we just kind of facilitated, I guess, really not much more. After naps, we went into Esperance and we just kind of got some like I've been tearing tons of my clothes recently, so no particular reason, just you know, my fat thighs doing what my fat thighs do. So yeah, a lot of my shorts have been torn, so yeah, had to go get another batch of those. And yeah, otherwise that's about it really. Just trying to think, I've got a few notes down here. Oh yeah, okay, one thing that that came up. Man, I love just seeing how Beck looks after my kids. Man, it's so like it's a little bit of a turn on. And I just, you know, as there's been a few things I've learned that makes our relationship really great, is that whenever we spend more time together, our relationship gets better. Secondly, the more I do for her and the more I serve her, and it's funny because like subscribing to like traditional gender roles, which is for the most part, Beck and I, that's our relationship. We grew up pretty religious and we're both heterosexual and all these sorts of things. So I'm like, well, you know, for the most part, we subscribe to traditional gender roles, and we, sorry, I just had a notification came through. I should have turned my phone on airplane mode. Yeah, so like whenever like I know like I lead our house and our family, and listen, that might sound hell patriarchy, hey, but like even Beck was just saying today how she was just like, you know, I was talking to her about health and how my mindset's been shifting since the conversation with Ben. And even speaking with her, how she was just like, babe, like whatever you do, we follow. And it's not something that like I think is a thing. We're both conscious of it. And it's really cool. Like, I used to feel like it's a burden, but now it's such a privilege. Like, what a privilege to be able to lead my family the way that I have the opportunity to. And that's really cool. And it's so cool, like whenever I just serve her. So anyway, thinking about leadership, right? Is that like I have the opportunity to like lead Beck and my kids. And whenever I do, one thing I've learned about leadership is serving. It's not like a part of leadership is serving. No, like if you want to lead people, my job is to serve them as best I can. And it doesn't mean that I do all the jobs. It means that I serve them in a way that they have all the resources and all the strength and all the capacity to be able to do everything that they can at the absolute best of their ability. And so it's been really cool over the last few weeks, obviously, now that we've got four kids in the mix, to be home and to be able to serve Beck and to be able to like ensure that she has everything she needs to flourish as a mother. And far out has it been, it's been so beautiful to watch, hey. So, I've really, really been enjoying that. And yeah, it's been really cool. And listen, I find it super attractive, hey? Like, yeah. It's funny, hey, so she's like 3.5 weeks postpartum. And naturally, there's urges. And man, I'm like really having to channel my inner stoic to not to not release those urges. And dude, I think about like Marcus Aurelius when he's talking around how, you know, you isolate the pain to its localized area. If your legs are hurting, your legs are hurting. You're not in pain. And I've been applying the same sort of like philosophy to, or way of thinking to, my sexual urges. Like, I look at my wife and far out, and she's so beautiful. And she'll play up to me too, the little dog. And it's like she's in no condition for sexual activity yet, right? And I'm finding myself, and she's cheeky too, Vara, it's funny. And I'm finding myself having to like really just like understand, like, I am not horny. It's just that there is a buildup of, I don't even know what you want to call it, like testosterone, let's just call it that. And isolate that to itself rather than having it consume me. And that has been quite the challenge. Yeah. So that's a thing. Yeah. But it's been good. It's been really cool. Like, I always love the act of discipline, self-discipline. Even though in the moment I hate it, I always really, really enjoy the act of self-discipline. So that's been good. I did jot down a few notes. I'll just see what else I've written. Oh, yeah. So tomorrow we're just going to spend the day just hanging out at the caravan park. We've just been go this whole time. We're just looking forward to relaxing, eh? So we're just going to switch off and spend the day at the caravan park, which is going to be good. Something that kind of came up. We were kind of just talking, and I remember someone else mentioning this a while ago, but how, you know, you think that the closest relationship you're going to have is with, like, your parents or your partner or anything like that. But, you know, in all honesty, it's actually with your siblings. And, like, your siblings see you develop in every single phase of your life. And they see when you talk shit, and they see when you tell the truth, and they see, like, when you rise to the occasion and when you don't. And really, like, they see more than your parents ever do. Like, and so Beck and I kind of had this realization that, like, you know, we reflect on our relationships, and absolutely, like, that's true in our lives, is that, you know, our siblings know us way better than our parents do. In some elements not, but for the most part. And then when I was thinking around that, is that it's like, well, if that's the reality, then a big, big part of our life, our role as parents, is to bond our children together. So there's an element of strength there and an element of stability. And, you know, obviously, like, help them understand the world and you know, course correct them and apply a level of wisdom. But at the same time, bond our children to each other so that they have trust between each other. And so that was really cool to kind of think around. Yeah. Not sure if by the time I'm revisiting this, I'll share the same philosophy, but that seems to make sense. And not to say that, like, you know, the children rely on each other instead of us, like, because obviously there's always the role of the parent, which is absolutely important. But yeah, so that's something I was kind of thinking on the other day, or today, sorry. Yeah, okay, so I've been listening to a book called Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. One thing she said which was really cool, and I forgot to mention this yesterday, one thing she said was really cool was about how when we're trying to compete, or we're comparing against others, we're in this really weird position where we only compete against the people in our direct proximity, which is crazy. And then we try and play the same game that they are playing and then beat them at it, which is just crazy. So it's this whole like, and again, the whole thing is, and this is the theme of my entire life at the moment, it's this whole like letting go process is just, and not to say that I let go and I, and so to me, letting go and surrender are synonymous, but surrender oftentimes, like when I think around surrender, it doesn't mean that you're aimless. It doesn't mean you have a, sorry. It doesn't mean you don't have like a vision or a goal or something to aspire to, or it just means that you surrender the outcome of whatever's happening in front of you. Whatever the goal that you're trying to focus on at that moment, you surrender that. And that's kind of one of the themes that I've been noticing recently. And so like, even all these, like the times we try and compete with each other and you know, and you're comparing to the person next to you, it's like, well, let go of that too, because for whatever reason we've decided that's the race we should compete in, which is completely bogus and shit. So rather than competing against ourselves and measuring against ourselves, you know, so yeah, so that was really cool. Another book I've been reading at the moment is called The Influential Mind by Tali Sharrett, and that's been really, really, really cool. The most recent thing I've taken out of that is that she talks about how there's go and no-go functions in the brain, and that we often try and motivate people to achieve a certain outcome with a negative influence. So it's like, don't get a B on your scorecard because that's a negative thing, because you need to have a good future, which is a positive thing. But the thing is, whenever we frame something negative as a stimulus, the brain shuts down because it's fight or flight. So the brain actually stops working when there's a negative stimulus. Whereas, and this is so basic, right? And we kind of know it, but we just don't do it the right way. Whereas, if we want someone to take action toward a positive outcome, we actually need to give them a go, what they call a go stimulus. So a go stimulus is, hey, get an A, study hard so that you can have a good thing. Rather than don't get the negative thing so you can have a good thing. You know, if we want people to not take action, then we need to give them a no-go stimulus, which is like, hey, don't get an F on this scorecard or whatever. I'm giving you really shit examples, right? Don't get an F on this scorecard so that you don't become homeless. Well, that is that's not even a good example. Sorry, I'm still trying to make sense of this. Hopefully this makes sense. It's like, if you want someone to take action, you give them a positive stimulus. If you don't want them to take action, then you give them a negative stimulus. Giving them a negative stimulus for a positive action or positive outcome, the brain actually just stops. And that works in times you want the brain to stop. You know, if you say, you know, don't cross this road unless you want to die, well, then the brain's not going to cross the road. But if you say, don't cross this road because in case you want to continue living, the brain functionally goes, stop, which is not what you want. You want them to run across the road to continue to live, you know? So, yeah, so it's really interesting. So that was that. So understanding like how to actually get people to take action, right? And there's lots more to it. But then another thing she was talking about is like priming people for being able to make decisions. And the people inherently want to have agency over their own lives, even if it's not the best thing for them to do. If they say, I want to manage my own financial portfolio, and they want to, like, for them having an element of control over that is probably going to be detrimental because they've got no idea what they're doing. And yet, they will still choose that, even knowing that it's not going to be the best outcome. So, if we want people to if we want to win people over in questions and that, and you know, and be persuasive, influential perhaps, then what we actually need to do is prime them to be able to make the decisions in favor of what we're asking. And what we actually need to do then is firstly letting people feel like they're going to make a decision brings them onto your side. So by just saying to them, hey, I'm going to let you make a decision in a second, lets them feel like they have already made the decision. And then you ask them the question, and let them make the decision, and then there's an element of power and ownership and agency that they've got. And obviously how you frame that question is the next thing. But one of the things I'm learning is, okay, I fundamentally understand what leadership is. Or that's so vague. I feel like I've got a very good grip on the basics of leadership fundamentally. But now I'm learning leadership skills. One of them is like, how do I actually become influential toward people? And how does that work? And one of the things is like, I'm digging into at the moment, like, how do I actually restructure our business to get full alignment across my entire team? And where they actually want to be doing it, not just me telling them to do it. And that's something exciting. And I think I found a company, actually mentioned it to a friend, and the friend found this company, and that's what they do. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see about that. A couple other things. So I feel, after my conversation with Ben, I feel like my perspective on health starting to change, which is really cool. And I'm really enjoying that. And ultimately it comes down to just like choosing the lies we want to tell. Not the lies, sorry, choosing the stories we want to tell ourselves.